Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Who are we learning about today?
Jesus.
Jesus. Who are we learning about today?
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. Great job. Great job. My message today is going to be follow this star. And I want to read scriptures from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and just whenever we stop. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Christmas is all about worship. Listen, Christmas is not just about gifts, it's about worship. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child." I could imagine if somebody came to me and said, "A great king is born who is going to save his people from their sins," I'd probably want to go with the wise men if I was the wise man. But Herod wasn't such a wise man. He said, "Go find him yourself and then tell me if it's real." There's two types of people. There's wise and there's fools. There's the ones who say, "I want to find this king, this truth, this way." And there are some who say, "Go find him so I can kill him." There's two types of people in the world. Those who are looking for Jesus and those who want to destroy him. If you look at our culture, you will see there's two types of people in this world. Verse 9, after this interview with the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw a child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped. Again, second time, worship him. They opened their treasures, chests, and gave to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Today we're talking about following the light, seeking the light. I want to start with telling you my personal story. Last year, I sold a car. Actually, it was last summer, not last year. It seems like last year. I sold a car, and I wanted to buy a different car. And you got to understand that in my life, I had many cars. Some of them were hand-me-downs from my dad. Some of them I bought, I didn't even know how much they cost. You know how we buy cars? We don't look at the price. We're Americans. We're such a great buyer. So we don't look at the price. We look at how much the payment is, right? The payment was good, so I bought it. And when I left, I was like, "How much did I pay for this car?" You know, some salesmen are so good. Amen? And so some of them were ugly old vans that my dad would drive and then wreck and then give me so I can drive. And so over the last, 15 years or so, I've had many cars, and I wanted something special, something that would be me, something that would, I wouldn't feel guilty driving, you know. I would hate to drive a car or a truck that would get 4 miles per gallon. I just cannot imagine myself doing that. And it had to be me. It had to be the right color. It had to be the right model. It had to be the right seating and dashboard and mileage. And it had to be the right price so I can feel good about driving it and saying, "I bought it at half price, people." Some of you ladies are looking at me right now and you're thinking, "Man, I didn't know it takes so much to buy a car." I was seeking for the right one. And ladies, don't judge me for trying to buy the right car for me. Because I know I've been married for almost 14 years and I know how you go shopping for a pair of jeans. Guys, have you ever been shopping with a woman for a pair of jeans? It's a man's nightmare. No offense to you, ladies. Just like I wanted the right car, you want those right pair of jeans. They have to look a certain way, right? How does my butt look in these? Looks good, honey. Let's go. Have you heard in the news lately that a man was shopping with his girlfriend for about 6 hours and he jumped off the mall roof because he just got tired of shopping with his girlfriend? How many of you heard that story? Okay, two of you news readers. Yeah, that's what it feels like. And you know what? I discovered if I wanted to have a great marriage, I should let my wife go shopping by herself. Amen. And the lady said, amen. She's like, can you babysit a kid, Hadassah, so I can go shopping? I'm like, how long is it going to take? And she's like, well, I'll be back before it closes. So at 5 o'clock before it closes, that could be 10. I'm like, just go. Let's put the baby to sleep and watch the movie. But one thing Jesus said, if you seek something, you will find it. And so in this story, we see a bunch of wise men. Bible says there's a group of them. We don't know how many. They're looking for something real. Let me ask you a question. Who was the wise man? Wise men were educated men. Probably, Bible says from the east. So east from Jerusalem would be about maybe Babylon, Syria, modern Iraq. Maybe they came as far as tradition says India or even China. Bible says that it took him about 2 years to get to Jesus. So Jesus wasn't a baby probably when they found him. He was probably a two-year-old boy running around already. Who were these wise men? And I got a little bit of, I went online and found the Greek word for wise men is magi. It is from this word that we get the word magicians. So were they magicians? I thought Bible is against magic and magicians. Well, listen to this. At the time, the boundary between those who attempted to perform occultic experiments and those who performed legitimate science would have been blurred. For example, early chemists were called alchemists. Trying to change one substance into other. Usually they tried to make gold. They would mix a whole bunch of metals and try to make gold so they can make some money. So similarly, these magicians were somewhat called modern day scientists or astrologists who were looking at the stars, who were studying nature and what God created. They were educated, they were rich, and they were the wisest man in the East. They were the type of people that President Obama would go to get counsel from if we saw today a mighty big star that acted weird. You know, when we watch the stars, you know, they all pretty much act the same. But if there was a star that appeared and it was shining really bright and it was moving a certain way and it was out of its character, usually stars move a certain way, but this one was different. So the kings would have advised, you know, that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were wise men of the East as well. These were educated, smart men. And so they organized this expedition to go and see who is this king that is to be born. Number two, how did they know about the star? I mean, you see a star up here. Do you take 2 years or 3 years out of your life and go follow it? No. Great, a star. Let's take a picture, a selfie. And that's it. How did they know that there was going to be a great king who was to be born? Well, guys, if we saw in our modern day a star that acted, we just didn't know what it was. Wouldn't we start looking for answers? And so these wise men, I assume, started looking through the books. They were looking through the science book. Nothing. They were looking through prophetic books. And they found a prophecy. And I want to show you a prophecy. And just the first part of it, Numbers 24:17. Says this, I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. That's it. A star will rise from Jacob. Daniel prophesied about the birth of a king. Let's look at Daniel 9:26. After this period of 62 sets of seven, an anointed one will be killed. This is prophecy was written about 600 years before Jesus was born. So look at this. Anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. Isn't that about what Jesus did? He was killed and people thought he didn't accomplish anything. But look, 2,000 years later, we're worshiping him still. 2 billion people in the world are worshiping Jesus today. And Daniel said, he saw in the future and he says, a man will die and almost like he didn't accomplish nothing. And a ruler will arise and on and on. Malachi 5:2 says this, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. There's many prophecies. I just picked a few. Let's go one more. Matthew 1:21. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save, read it with me, his people from their sins. There's many prophecies in the Bible. So these wise men were searchers. They were seekers. They didn't just say, my life is okay. There's probably a God, but I don't care. Wise men seek for the truth. They were looking for the truth. Number three, what caused them to abandon everything and seek for the star? These scientists had to abandon their houses, their wives, their children, their careers, their posts as advisors to the king. They had to abandon 2 or 3 years because they had to come back, right? So they had to abandon many years of their life to seek the star. What would make a wise man do that? You're not going to make any more money because you're bringing gifts. You're spending money to go on this expedition. So why would somebody? And my answer, the best answer I could find, is they were tired of worshiping fake things that don't satisfy. These wise men were rich. We know that. They had all the materialism and all that materialism could offer. And that didn't bring them happiness. They worship pleasure, sex. They worship wine. They worship women. They worship knowledge. And all of that didn't bring these men happiness. Only restless. See, everybody worships something. You are a worshiper. And some of you realize the things that I worship don't bring me pleasure. That drink does not satisfy. It just gives me a headache in the morning and destroys my life. That next girlfriend that I think is going to make me happy, or boyfriend, does not. We want some real. We want the truth. Wise people seek the truth until they find it. And Jesus said, seek and you shall find. God is not hiding from you, but he wants you to make a step to seek him. Bible says he's not far from any one of us. Seek him and you shall find. And so they abandon everything, their lifestyles, their comfort, their riches, their positions, and they go seek after the king. Why do they do that? Because only worshiping Jesus will bring true happiness in your life. Materialism will not bring you happiness. Money will not bring you happiness. Pleasure will not bring you happiness. Jesus is the only thing, only man, only God who can bring you true joy in your life. And so they go and seek the star. You know, in our life, God brings people in our life who are shining bright as well. The reason I'm here today is because I saw a bright star in my parents. The reason you are here today, because maybe of your grandma who told you about Jesus. They were the bright shining stars. They were following Jesus, and you saw something in them, and you saw their lifestyle, and you saw how they acted and how they shined. And you wanted to follow that same light. Who are you following today? Are you following the stars who burn up quickly in Hollywood, in music industry? Or are you following a star that shines brighter and brighter and brighter every day? It could be your grandma who showed you who was that star. It could have been your coworker who was honest and loving and kind. It could have been your spouse that pointed you to the star. And when you follow that star, you will find Jesus himself. Worship is a reason for the season. Matthew 2:11. Let's read that again. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Are you living your life without seeking the true answer and who God is? Are you living your life following the truth? Christmas is not just about gifts, or gifts are important because God gave us the Son, but Christmas is about worship, the true King. And you know what? When we worship false things, and we are all worshipers, people, don't fool yourself. When we worship false things, they don't satisfy us. They bring kind of destruction into our life. But when we worship the truth, it brings us joy. So this Christmas, your life might not be perfect. And none of our lives are perfect. You know how many people get depressed on Christmas? Because we don't have it perfect. And how can we have joy? Because you're worshiping things that don't satisfy. Look to Jesus. Look to the manger. The King of Kings is born. And worship Him alone. Whenever you feel lonely, whenever you feel depressed, whenever you feel like you're not fulfilled or satisfied, worship Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And He will save His people from their sins." We have tons of sins that bring us down. We have tons of problems that bring us down. We have mistakes that we're not proud of. And Bible says that He, Jesus, will save His people from their sins. You don't have to live with your sins. You don't have to carry the burdens. You don't have to carry the past. You don't have to carry that divorce. You don't have to carry that whatever you're carrying. He will save. He will wipe it away. That's what the message of Christmas is. It's to bow down and worship the King Jesus. They didn't just worship Him in words. They worshiped Him in gifts. They brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought that to Jesus. They didn't just worship Him with their lips. Because there's a lot of people today who worship Jesus with their lips. Merry Christmas! Yeah! But the survey was taken, and we find out that only 50% of Americans think that Christmas is a religious holiday. The rest of the people say it's a cultural holiday. What is it for you? Is it just another holiday where materialism takes over, you go buy a gift, you get a gift, or is it a day to worship the King? You will open the presents on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, and guess what? If you don't have Jesus in your heart, it will not bring you satisfaction. But if you have Him in your heart, it will magnify your joy. It will magnify your joy. Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm so excited that our kids can worship Jesus. I'm so excited that we still live in a nation that worships Jesus. I'm so excited that there's no bomb in here that we're afraid of that's going to blow up like in Egypt or Syria today. We're worshiping Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you worship Jesus? Are you a worshiper of Jesus today? If you're not sure, I want to give you an opportunity to respond today to the message, the good news, that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. I want to give you an opportunity to give Jesus place in your heart. Maybe you used to be a believer and you kind of drifted away. You know, life got hard and problems and fun and maybe job and whatever it was. And maybe you drifted away and today you feel kind of far and distant. And if you want to give your life to Jesus today, Bible says He stands at the door and knocks. If you open your heart today, He will come in. Give you joy this Christmas. Forgive you your sins this Christmas. And give you a new life. This could be the day that changes the history of your family, of your future. I'm so glad that my mom followed Jesus. Parents, this is so important that we follow Jesus so our kids could follow Jesus as well. If your heart is beating hard, that means Jesus is knocking at the door. It's your time. It's your day today. Give Him your life. Pray a prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God who came to this earth to save me. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and give me a new life with You. From this day, I believe that I'm saved and I'm forgiven and I'm a child of God." In Jesus' name. And church, I want you to clap as loud as you can. Celebrate! Come on, kids, help me out.